Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast with me, Russell Guyver, and my co-host, Peter Marsh. Hello, Peter.
Howdy, Russ.
Well, how do?
Having a good day.
It's a very nice day. It's a lovely day. Blazing hot sun, late summer, early autumn beauty, isn't it? We're in South London, but no way that you wouldn't approve of. It's not Palace territory.
Although it is mild, though.
Although technically it is, isn't it? Yeah.
I think overall situation, it is.
We're on our way to Bromley versus...
We're on our way.
Bromley versus Oldham Athletic, National League Premier Division.
How did we get there?
I don't know.
How did we get there?
Oh, I don't care, to be honest. Yeah.
All I know is we are on our way.
We are indeed, yeah. And it is going to be ground number 174 for me, my fourth new ground of the season following Chalfont St Peter. Yes, I did say Chalfont St Peter. Slough Town, where I did co-coms with Peter Bale, the Worthing commentator. And Chesterfield last weekend, who beat, thanks to a late comeback, Dagenham and Redbridge 3-1. Peter, it's ground number 174 for me. How many are you on? You're not
162
doing...
or something. 163 maybe tough for today.
Not bad. And you've done AFC Wimbledon this year already?
Yeah, I've done Wimbledon. That's my one so far. So probably it'll be number two.
Number one today. And you are going ahead of me. And this is where the envy comes in from my side of things. You are doing Marseille. I am not.
Yeah.
Coming up, looming on the horizon.
You can be envious once I come out alive, judging by the police and... everything else like coming out of the club this week.
Well,
which we'll get onto later on.
We will.
Not impressed with the way that was handled.
You say later on, very soon, in fact. Just to quickly mention, this is also a match day special. So shortly, you are going to hear from our dearly beloved friends from the Manchester area, Indiana and Rochdale, as they are known. Indiana because his surname's Jones, it's Alistair Jones, and Rochdale because he lives in Rochdale, Nick Ansley.
Quite less interesting way of speaking.
Yeah, Alistair and Nick and friends will be giving us their feedback, their views and their reactions to what's going on up at Old Trafford today.
We're holding ourselves back for City.
Yeah, we're budgeting. We've avoided all the expenditure of travelling to Manchester, which we are doing for the City game later on.
And maybe a few pubs as well.
Yeah, by keeping our powder dry and spending loads of money on beer, going to Bromley instead. There we go. Anyway, let's talk about Marseille then. I'm not going, you are. You've got all your bookings done.
Yeah.
You're going. The ticketing is going to be fine. Guaranteed a ticket, I understand, in your loyalty point bracket.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was in the first of the two sections at work. So
no worries there. And you've got your ticket now?
Yep, all sorted.
Excellent. Good seats. Happy with them?
Yeah, and it was like frankly, the most safest area of like... But not too much to climb.
There is no safe areas in Marseille, Peter.
It was what seemed like the safest on paper, plus also not too far to climb. That was
Peter, it's a war zone. You'll be lucky to get out alive. That's what they're saying online. Talk about that and rant about that, if you will.
So and I'm sure the club had no real choice in the matter. I'm going to go.
Yep, we're walking to the ground, by the way. Directional conversations will abound here. From time to time.
So we don't get lost and go, fuck.
Yeah. We walked 30 minutes away past the ground, yeah. Anyway, yes.
We're not in Bromley anymore.
Yeah. Isn't it?
So my feeling is that clubs like Marseille, who clearly can't keep away fans safe, shouldn't be allowed in Europe. What? If I'm honest. It's like, if your whole policy is to treat away fans like they're treating Brighton fans, rather than actually trying to make a difference with the home fans, then actually they shouldn't.
I think we should go
down this way, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to the Bromley Town Bowls Club. That's where the game is.
We know how to live, don't we?
It sounds, and obviously I've not travelled to Brighton, watched Brighton in Europe before, but it seems crazy that we have to be bussed out from all these coaches, kept in 45 minutes, and not allowed to go to parts of the town. And, you know, maybe they should actually investigate what's wrong with the people who are local who are actually causing this problem, rather than just treating away fans like shit.
Well, what's wrong with the home fans in that area is they have the worst reputation for football
but
hooliganism in Europe.
But maybe they should actually do some work and actually do something about... Oh, there's a floodlight through there.
Ooh, we can see floodlights. I like seeing floodlights.
As far as I know, there's not a part of Bromley we can't turn up in this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, the whole restriction's about going into the port area, and there's people who've booked hotels in the port area.
I thought
don't book hotels.
That was from the club. It's like, yeah, what sort of idiot thinks that people haven't booked a hotel already? It's like 2 weeks to the game, or week and a half. No, 3 weeks to the game. Less than 3 weeks now.
I put it to you that about 5% maximum of the people intending to go to the game have not booked.
And they're probably ones who are at the end of the system. They're not sure if they're going to get a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're the ones who are like that. Yeah. And even then, I probably booked a kind of like, I'd have booked a refundable one, you know, and done that.
Well, Peter,
so it's just insane. The club were, to me, they were naive with that comment. It's like, well, who do you think hasn't booked a hotel already?
Yeah.
And the whole way they're treating fans is just disgusting. And actually, obviously, I know the club have no say on it, but we should actually be treating Marseille fans like that. Bust them into Port Sales like that, and then like
Fisher's Gate,
yeah,
I say.
Fisher's Gate, anywhere along the south coast, and tell them they're going to get a coach from there. They can't be seen in Brighton, because if you keep treating clubs like this well when they travel, but then they treat you like shit, they're not going to give a shit. Whereas actually, if we started saying, well, actually, we're going to do the same for you, well, then actually it could work. You know, why not? They're away fans would get out of the shit experience. You could go, well, actually, that's what you did to us.
Yeah, but this could involve pyrotechnics in Fisher's Gate. This could be carnage, Peter.
I'm not sure Fisher's Gate is ready for the Marseille Massive. It just feels like they're allowed to get away with murder.
I mean, we
were literally banned from Europe for years, obviously over Heysel, which is obviously, in terms of numbers, a lot worse. But in terms of the amount Marseille have done over the years,
yeah, I mean,
they get away with so much.
This is the thing. French football is in a state of disarray. It's in a state of chaos. Hooliganism is rife. It's the worst in Europe, barring if you can call Turkey Europe. I know it's a debatable one. You know, it's the worst in Europe. It's that bad. It's up there with Argentina, or down there with Argentina
with
and Brazil.
If we did half the stuff that imagine if we came into Europe and we're like Marseille and we're like, well, no, you can't do this. UEFA would probably say we can't take part then.
I mean, French football,
they already tried to fuck us over with the whole USG stuff. Even though, like, loads of teams are allowed to take part. You know, Leipzig and Salzburg are fucking owned by Red Bull, but they're allowed to get away with it.
Yeah.
And transfer players between them. But yet somehow we're not allowed to.
French football culture, the problem with it is, and it's a really big problem, is
they're all French.
Oh, God. Right. Now, hooliganism is rife, and this is the problem. Certain clubs, and we can include the likes of Lyon, and we can include the likes of various other clubs. But we're talking PSG, and most particularly Marseille. Marseille have the worst reputation.
But also, the police hate English people, because you can see by the Liverpool European final...
That was a disgrace, by the way. The English
rugby one last weekend in Marseille, where they were basically having to fight their way in and kind of like... basically crowded into an area.
Really?
Yeah, it was horrendous from the sound of it.
I did hear a bit about that, but I didn't know the details. But no, I mean, that was a disgrace.
I love the fact they've got an advert outside saying Bromley signs.
a sign in Bromley saying Bromley signs, advertising
their signs, yeah.
Right, that's not what I'm saying.
It's a sign.
It's a sign that we've seen some signs. No, I mean, the hooliganism issue in France is rife. All of the big clubs have a major problem with it. It is affecting games.
But they don't tackle it. They just seem to just not give a shit.
All they do is they'll ban away fans for a number of matches, and they will restrict
but
major...
But they should be actually trying to do something to actually tackle it, rather than just being like, oh, well...
Players are getting assaulted, games are getting abandoned.
Yeah.
It's that bad. And Marseille
are the worst. Last season, the relegation battle was decided by an abandoned game because of crowd trouble, which was disgraceful for the team who actually were relegated for no fault of their own.
Well, I'm not going to the game. In fact, that was one of the considerations. I had to cut one at least from my schedule for budgetary reasons. And that was pretty much the reasoning for going for that one in particular. Iconic though the stadium will be. But you are going. How do you feel about it all? Are you comfortable with it all?
Not massively, but I mean, it'll end up being... I think with the coaches, hopefully, barring people throwing stuff at the coaches, it will be safe but not fun.
Yeah.
But it'll be, you know, I don't want to miss the first European game. That's my away from home.
The important thing is, have you found some craft beer places?
I have actually got a list of craft beer places in all three locations.
And would this be courtesy of your wife's research?
No, my research. That was actually my research.
Fair enough. Okay. Oh, it's a football day. Yeah. Different rules apply, eh?
No, it's, I know. Also, craft beer, I can do the research as well. It's like a mix there.
Yeah, I know, but your wife is pretty on the ball with it, so I've got to say fair play. You've taken the bull by the horns.
I've taken a beer by the horns.
Maybe you can do some audio of that Marseille, who knows?
Sacré bleu.
You could record the stones hitting the coach as you leave the ground later on. Anyway, we're here at Bromley versus Oldham Athletic today. Ground number 174 for me, ground number 163 for you. Yeah. Brilliant numbers, fantastic. We're now
sad,
thinking.
I think, for the word,
sad is the word. We're looking at doing the 92, which we're on. I'm on 88. You're on 89 at the moment. But I'm thinking now we do the 116, and that's about quite a few local.
I think I'm on 17 now. This will be my 17th National League ground.
Is it? Oh, you're ahead of me.
A lot of league ones I've been, over the years that I've been to.
This is number 15 for me in this.
I've seen Barnet a few as well, and
yeah. We've got to do Eastleigh next, haven't we?
Eastleigh. There's a few southern ones that are still... There's like two or three southern ones that are still around. Obviously, there's still Gateshead, for example, which is quite a distance. And Fylde, haven't been to. And
yeah. Well, we're looking at the ground there. We're looking through the gate and there's the...
Oxford City, of course, for me, which you've been to.
I've been to that one, yeah. The iconic away... I think it's the away end, isn't it? Where they've got the white sort of like... what do you call that? The... supporting things for the roof. I don't know what the word is.
Joints, yeah.
And a terrace behind the goal. I think that's the away end. Oldham should bring a big crowd today.
Iconic might be a strong word.
Iconic might be a strong word, but
I'm not sure anything about Bromley's ground is iconic.
I'm brandishing it like a real ale pint, of which we've had none at all, have we, Peter, so far?
I mean, to be fair, we probably haven't. I mean, we had like I have one, but...
One? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, here we go.
I was thinking more that in terms of actually I've had like kind of craft beer instead today.
Oh, yes, yeah. Fair enough. Right, we're going into the ground.
We're allowed in because people are keeping bringing out paper tickets and we've only got like online ones. So
I wouldn't let us in if I was me. No. But anyway, we are now going to hand things over to our good friends Alistair and Nick, our Manchester-based Seagulls, who are
far
at the
more sane people that we know.
Far more sane, but they do like a real ale. Nick doesn't like the sours so much. Anyway, it's over
to those.
He's
quite sour about them.
He is very sour about them. And very bitter about them as well, to be honest. We're handing it over to him then for the match day special element to do with the Albion at Man U today. Predictions on that very quickly. I'm going 2-2.
I was thinking goals, but then I thought that would be final. It was 0-0 after 120 minutes.
That can't happen again. 2-2.
2-2. I've actually my mate Dave Bernard, he was saying 2-2.
We're both going Desmond's here.
I'm pretty guaranteed that there will be a decision against us
from
the referee of some sort. Yeah. Even when we won there last year, there was like three pretty terrible decisions against us. So.
And this season, I'm just talking about that Wolves penalty incident. Yeah. Anyway, we will hand it over to them, and at the end of the podcast, it'll come back to us, where we will give our feedback on whatever.
Barely stood up.
Giving our feedback on whatever the hell's happened at Old Trafford, and also a little bit about what's happened here today at Bromley versus Oldham. Okay.
See you later.
See you later, folks.
Hello, and welcome to Stretford. I'm here with Nick, Ahmed, Dave, Richard, and Alison. We're here in Stretford Food Hall, and it is 2 o'clock on Saturday. Getting ready for kickoff, and just been talking about the game and reading the paper. We've got a story here about Fatty or Farty. We weren't quite sure how to pronounce his name, and I was talking about the article as well. In the Times or something about Tony from Tony Bloom, and we've just had the lineup announced. So we've got Steele, Lamperty, Dunk, Dahoud, Gross, Lallana, Welbeck, Mittimer, Adingra, Van Heck, and Veltman. So is Fatty on the bench? Yeah, Fatty's on the bench.
Ferguson's on the bench.
And Fergie's on the bench. Yeah. So really interesting. So literally, we've just had that come up on the phone. So I'm going to throw straight to Nick for his initial thoughts on the match.
Well, this is our first home game, effectively, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, literally, for those of you listening to the pod who don't know, so my name's Alistair, and I live 10 minutes walk or 12 minutes walk from Old Trafford. I live literally in Stretford, so, and I have done since 2002, although I'm a Brighton fan originally from down south.
Yeah. So I live in Rochdale, so I should be a City fan, really. But
should be a Rochdale fan. You should be at Spotland.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the lineup. I mean, it's not what we were expecting.
No.
We were hoping to see Fergie in there, weren't we?
Yeah.
But no. The big worry for this game is the way we've been bigged up. Whenever we get bigged up on a game, my worry is we tend to lose it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had, I don't know how many texts from my United friends saying, oh, an easy win for you guys today. We're not expecting much from us. I don't think we'll ever see three players again. There's obviously a culture thing going on then. Obviously, we're not going to talk about what's going on at United because, yeah, well, who's interested in what's going on at United? We're more interested in what's going on in Brighton, which is exciting stuff at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. Well, pretty much everyone that I know is a United fan, including my... plumber who's fitting a new bathroom at the moment.
So you need to hope we don't whack them too much because otherwise you might end up like not being able to go to the loo and flush it.
No, my bathroom won't be fitted if we beat them. But they're all worried about this game. But I'm looking at this lineup. So we're interested in the new ones, aren't we? The new players we've not seen yet.
Yeah.
So what? Dahoud, Adingra, I think are new. They'll look good. They're saying in the background that it's seven changes, you say?
Seven changes.
Seven changes,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Different. You've got a 3-1 and make seven changes.
Yeah. So obviously he's maybe worried about people coming back from international break and how people are. Also, he doesn't really think that Fatty's quite ready yet.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? We're going into a big game against one of the teams that have got a really good home record. And I'm a bit worried about it. But look, you know, we're still in the top six. We're a good team. We've got Matoma in there, Welbeck. You know, it's a good team. So still confident. I mean, I predicted a 4-1 win to us. So
you're being optimistic then.
We always win
4-1. Yeah. We've never won at Old Trafford until last season, and now you're predicting a 4-1 win. The arrogance of you. You're just an entitled fan, Nick.
But I'd been working on the basis that Fergie was going to be playing up front. So
They absolutely fear Fergie as well. And the amount of rubbish I've heard from United fans about, oh, Fergie's a United fan, he should really be playing for us. Well, if he were playing for you, he wouldn't have even probably got on the bench.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Fergie is like, apparently he's actually a United player in a Brighton shirt at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, according to all the United fans I talk to. But let's face it, if he'd been at United, he'd probably not even be allowed to play at the minute because of some culture thing that we've... Yeah, well, let's not go there again.
No.
But he's been looked after, he's been developed, we've invested in him and he's playing his socks off for us.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Actually, this game is going to be the one that's going to be a bit of an acid test for us. We're going to be, you know, talking about contending for top six again. If we can beat these, I think we really can. Because it's, for me, this game, Newcastle game, have been the two that I was looking forward to seeing. This should set out our standard for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It sort of did when we beat them first game of last season, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It set the tone for the whole season. I think this could set the tone for the rest of our season if we beat these.
And we're not really truly saying that we can base our decisions on our results against Luton and against Wolves. To be fair, even West Ham.
No, I mean, and then we actually played quite well against West Ham. I mean, they sussed us out and their tactics was spot on. But we bounced back against Newcastle. I think, to me, this is going to be our toughest test to date. I really do. I mean, I'm joking about the 4-1, but I do think we can beat them. I think we can beat them with this team as well, but it's a surprise, isn't it? The other surprise is they've swapped the keeper around again, haven't they? And I always worry when you keep swapping keepers and you don't get that settled defence, that the keeper and the defence are in sync. So, you know, those are a few worries for me. But
one encouraging thing, though, for me, it's great to see Lamptey starting. I think this is his first start since he's come back.
Yeah, but he did great against Newcastle, that little cameo he came on for, didn't he? Yeah. So he looked like he still got his speed. He looked like he was trying to take on their attack.
He was quick that day. Yeah. No, we were impressed he had some of his star man qualities coming back. So
absolutely. What are your thoughts about today, Alison?
Well, I'm thinking that there could be quite a few goals. I predicted a 2-2 draw.
Goals are from who? The goals are from who?
Oh, you can predict the scorers.
I think it's going to be a 3-2 win to Brighton.
You think 3-2? So who do you reckon is going to, of those that are starting, or do you reckon it'll be when people come on that we'll get a win, Ahmed?
Sorry?
Who do you think will be our main, you know, who do you think is going to score the goals? Because we've not got a named striker on the pitch.
Unfortunately, today it's going to be Welbeck scoring the goals.
And Welbeck's not even starting today. I missed Welbeck. Oh right, okay. So Welbeck. So we do have a named striker at the front. Yeah. So, but Welbeck's not yet scored against United, has he?
Yeah. But I think a dinger is very sharp, and I think there may be a few surprises today.
Let's hope so.
Adingra looked great in the pre-season, didn't he?
Right, I'm not a United fan, but I can't remember. They've got two new signings that they're thinking of blooding today. One of them's a striker, isn't he?
Yes.
Isn't he a Danish striker?
Similar to
Haaland. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head, but my worry is they're going to bring him on, and he's going to be a bit of a star for them today. He's going to lift the crowd. I know they're in a bit of turmoil, United, at the moment, but that's
to say the least.
That's to say the least, but that's off the pitch. You know, on the pitch, they haven't looked terrible. Against Arsenal, they looked all right. So, you know, that is my real niggle in the back of my mind is they've played OK against Arsenal. They've got these two new signings. It'll be a big lift. Ooh, that's my worry.
Yeah, it's a potential pitfall, isn't it, for us?
But let's not forget Matoma as well. He's going to be quite...
Where is Solly March? Is Solly March not even on the bench?
No, so he's made... I think six or seven changes from the last game, which, considering we beat Newcastle 3-1, is pretty remarkable, but maybe it's reflective of a strong squad, but also the different competitions we're in this season.
Yeah, absolutely, and it wasn't. And Solly March didn't even have any international thing. What do you think, David?
I think we're obviously after European glory, aren't we? You know, with all these changes. Looking forward to seeing Dahoud playing, because when I've seen him, I've been impressed by him. Maybe not quite up to the pace of the Premier League yet, but technically very good, very classy player. So I'm not too worried about the midfield. It'll be interesting to see whether people like Adingra can step up in this match. But I would hesitate to make any predictions.
Whenever you make a prediction, it always comes back to bite you. I think the one thing that I thought really was that if we score the first goal, then we're more likely to win. If they score the first goal, then they're more likely to win. Just the way that our seasons have gone, you know, like basically our play does seem to rely on us. Oh, do you think so?
I think Man U will score the first goal and we'll come from behind to win the game.
That's spoken like a confident man, Ahmed.
just one more point. Someone's just raised is that there's no Estupiñán in this team at all anywhere.
Yeah, no, because in the press conference, RDZ said that Estupiñán's tired coming back from his international.
Yeah, so he's been left out, which really does significantly weaken the team. But let's see how we get on.
Yeah, excellent. Well, onwards and upwards. We're now leaving the Stretford Food Hall. We're going to walk up the A56 up Chester Road. And next time you hear us, we'll be in Old Trafford. It's 1-0 to Brighton. It's half time. We're at Old Trafford. And I never thought I would see the day that a VAR decision goes our way. So apart from the fact that we also saw Welbeck score against his old club, and we were just saying on the way up, I never think I'll see him score against his old club either. We've seen quite a few firsts today.
Yeah, we were talking about it at lunchtime, weren't we, about Welbeck scoring?
Yeah.
And there he goes and does it. And literally before that goal, we were saying Adingra hadn't actually crossed when he had the chance to, and he first cross scores.
We hadn't seen one cross going from that right wing into the box, had we?
And we've been banging on about that right wing, looking a bit suspect, because Rashford's been marauding down that wing all game, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And that, I suppose... You know, that's our biggest worry now. Second half is Rashford doing whatever Rashford does, because he's their only player, really.
Yeah, he's looked their most dangerous player for the first half, totally. Yeah. And obviously, their number 11, their new Danish player, potentially scoring the goal that wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think that's the difference between Rashford and Aguero. Aguero's first goal, he cut it in and managed to keep it in play, whereas Rashford was too slow and it just went out of play.
Yeah, I'm hoping he has that luck all through the rest of the game, because... Yeah, one more goal from us. I think we've won it. Don't know what would happen if they get one. I think it'll be very close. But I have to say, we have looked very accomplished, very assured. With all those changes, nothing's changed. It's still the same way we do everything. It's been really good to watch. But some of that stuff around the back is still bloody nerve tingling.
Absolutely. And there's a few times where Adingra lost it on the right wing. And then there were times when Dahoud as well in the middle looked... I mean, he's got big boots to fill, hasn't he, Caicedo? But I think if it weren't for that VAR thing, and obviously we'd be 1-1, we'd be back to square one. Yeah. But I'm convinced we're still going to need another goal to get a win.
Yeah, and actually, Matoma has been millimetres away from getting away from his marker and getting on goal.
Yeah.
Not quite done it yet. But here, they're coming back out now. So Some of them are.
That's the substitutes.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's the subs coming out now. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we carry on in the same vein, but a little bit more incisive when we get into that last third, possibly.
Yeah, because there have been times when we've not had our kind of stats. So we've just edged it on the stats for the first half, but both teams have only had one shot on goal.
Yeah.
So that means I think they did. I don't think you can count a goal that's a VAR shot that's disallowed. So it was that save from Steele. Yeah. There was a good save from Steele, where really you would have thought Rashford should have done better with that.
Rashford has had three or four really good chances. He might not have hit the target, but they have been bloody good chances. And let's just keep an eye on him. I said let's clatter him if possible.
Absolutely. And we'll come back. Hopefully we'll come back in the second half, and hopefully we'll still be ahead, but we'll see. But I do think anything can happen, really, still.
Yeah, too right. Yeah, come on, Seagulls.
Up the Albion. So it's 94 minutes, 2 minutes to go, Nick. 3-1 to the Albion. Yeah. We just saw Fatty just miss possibly the best chance he could have got for a debut goal. Just missed it. Nick, you still think we're going to lose 4-3 in the next 2 minutes?
We've got 2 minutes to cop this up, but we're listening to that Ole football at Old Trafford. It's been absolutely brilliant. It's been fantastic.
For 22 years I've lived in Stretford, and this is the first time I'm here at Old Trafford to see us beat United, and we have looked by far the better team. And we now want our ball back.
That is fantastic, mate. This is unbelievable. Let's just make sure we don't concede a late one.
And that cheer that Fatty got when he came on as well.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Obviously, he's got a lot to learn, and it's his first game and all that sort of stuff. And let's face it, he's at Old Trafford, he's not at Luton. But even so, he's looked good, the couple of touches he's had, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's looked really good. I mean, that save was a hell of a save as well. But, we could have had five or six.
Yeah. What?
That's reference back to the cup final.
Yes. So here we go, it's coming back up our way. We've still got another 30 seconds of added on time. Bit premature with their whistling here, the Albion fans.
Not a lot left here from United, are there?
It looks pretty empty. I can see more seats than I can see people.
Keep it out, lads, this last few seconds.
Absolutely, they're just in our penalty area now. But there we go, the sure feet of Lewis Dunk. Yeah. Clearing it for
Dunk
a throw-in.
Has been absolute magnificent.
Hasn't he? Just been, and Van Heck has
done well too. Done absolutely superb.
Obviously their goal was at the other end, so we didn't really see whose fault that was. Let's just enjoy the singing. The Albion win 3-1 at Old Trafford.
Again.
Thank you very much, Manchester. Great, so we've just left the ground. I'm with Alison and Ahmed and David. And just your thoughts after the match.
Whoa. What a win. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, I predicted a 3-2 win for Brighton, but I'll take a 3-1 all day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Likewise, I predicted goals, and I predicted 4 goals, but I wasn't quite sure how they'd be split. So this is better. Perfect.
And it's also certainty that there is a break in the space-time continuum, because we actually got a VAR result that went our way at Old Trafford. And it would have been 3-2 if it hadn't been for that, so you would have got your result, Ahmed.
Yeah, exactly. I know, totally. I mean, we could have really had 4 goals.
Yes.
The last goal from Fatty.
Yeah,
yeah.
He could have scored.
He could have scored. So, unfortunate, but maybe it was first, you know, first time playing for Brighton, nerves. But.
And it's a big stage.
Yeah,
he's got a point to prove, hasn't he?
I think he will start finding his feet.
Yeah, and there were times I thought when Adingra looked a little bit muscled off the ball, but at the same time I thought in the main he had quite a good match.
Yeah, he did have a good match. I think Pedro also was very good today.
Yeah, yes. when he came on, yeah.
Yeah,
obviously Adingra set up that goal from the right.
Yeah,
fantastic. Great, right, well. Thanks, Ahmed. Thanks, Alison. Have a safe journey back. I'm going to go and chat to David now.
Yeah. I think
so. Over to David then.
Yeah. I think we had a bit of a wobble when they scored, but then we took back control, and after that, there was never any doubt about the result.
And they actually the stadium, all of a sudden the fans got behind them when they scored that goal, and that made a big difference, because the rest of the time it was like a library, wasn't it? Football in a library.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we completely owned them, really. It was a fantastic performance. My man of the match, well, I would give it jointly, actually, to Dunk and to Gross. I thought Gross had a fantastic match. He just so calm, built up the play and took his goal beautifully.
Absolutely. Well, Gross had to get his goal at Man United, because he always gets a goal at United.
I'm wondering how many he's got now. Must be getting on for...
Oh, sorry.
Because he scored against them at the Amex as well, obviously. So
yeah,
must be well over five. Probably getting on for double figures now, I would have thought.
Yeah, he's doing well. And what about Van Hek as well? We were saying, although obviously Dunk played really well, Van Hek too.
I thought he had a brilliant match. So calm and used the ball well. Defended well when he had to. Best. Webster's going to find it very difficult to get back in the side now, I would have thought.
Yeah, although with the rotation, he's going to get games, isn't he? So.
No doubt. But I feel so much more. It feels so much more secure with Veltman and Van Hekker in. And I thought that was the case when they both came back against Newcastle. But wonderful day out.
Yes, what a great day out, what a grand day out. And I believe you're going for a pint with Nick in a minute as well.
I am, man. I'm looking forward to it. I've lost my voice, so...
you need some liquid refreshment to get that, those vocal...
I need to lubricate the throat, yes, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Right. So we're walking through Gorse Hill, south out of Stretford. Past all of the cars that are stuck in a traffic jam.
And depressed United fans,
unfortunately. But I mean, we're not gloating, because obviously this is usually us. But obviously tonight and today, we won 3-1. We were just saying, obviously there I think he's a new player for them who came on 46. He scored their goal. It was a cracker of a goal.
Yeah.
The person who runs the Man United Superstore will be rubbing their hands, because they can get all those Fellaini wigs that they've got in a warehouse somewhere. Get them out, put a little bit of orange dye on them, and they'll be able to sell them. But, we were just talking about route. Yeah, I think we can cut through this car park.
We're Lidl.
Yeah, going through Lidl. There we go.
And that was not a little result. That was a massive result. Thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. When you think that our wage bill is a Lidl wage bill, they are definitely on a Waitrose wage bill, what they spend at United. So, it's an interesting... day. But at the same time, I reckon United, Ten Hag, he's done well with them, you know. So and Marcus Rashford, we were saying, looked like their best player.
Yeah.
He looked dangerous every time he had the ball, but he kind of tailed off towards the second half.
I actually don't care about Rashford and United anymore. We beat them 3-1 and deservedly so.
Robert deservedly so.
Yeah. So who gives a toss anymore about them? I mean, like I said, that was one of the best performances I've seen live in a long time, and just to beat him again at Old Trafford is just superb. And we've improved on last year as well, haven't we? 3-1 this time. Oh, it was so good, good.
All the mind games from our United fans, friends, who who's told us that, oh yeah, you'll definitely beat us.
Well, yeah, for once, they didn't work on us because we actually did win. Yeah. And we field a B team as well. So if we can beat them with our B team with seven changes, then because we started rotating because we've got a busy couple of weeks coming ahead now, we're doing all right, aren't we?
Well, third in the league. United, 6 points, we've got 12. So, you know, they must be scared of a top four team now. You know, well, we got to fear from anybody.
If you were someone and you said, what's the Champions League team that was playing today? And which was the Europa League team, I think you'd have probably got a different response to the actual answer, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm trying to think of who was our man of the match because they were all so good. But I think, you know, between us, even though it was a defender, I still put Donkey down as our man of the match.
Yeah, I think so. We were saying how when they were playing out from the back in the first half, they were coming from us and it wasn't as nervous. It didn't look as scary to us then passing the ball through the back. But when it was the second half and they were far away from us, it was a lot harder to tell how close the ball was. And it was you still thought at some point we were going to lose 4-3, didn't you, Nick?
I'm still that sort of Brighton fan stuck in the 90s.
It's very hard to break that mentality though, isn't it?
I know, but I mean, you know, 3-0 it was in 72 minutes or something, and then they go and score, you know. They had plenty of time to get three more.
Yeah, they absolutely did. We said that they could easily.
I mean, when you look back at that, if you were a neutral, we were just basically the better team by a country mile. So, you know, we deserved that 3-1. We probably should have had four.
They had their chances though, they just didn't finish them. That was the thing. And we talked during the match also about Fatty's opportunity to score a goal on his debut as well. So that was a shame, but as you say, it was a good save.
Yeah, it was a very good save, and it was nice to see him come on, nice to see Petro come on and score his goal as well. So I mean, it's faultless. I literally can't think of anything apart from that first 5 minutes. I can't think of anything bad to say about that performance.
Well, apart from the fact we still haven't managed to keep a clean sheet this season. We seem to be having a lot of games that we've won 3-1.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting, doesn't it? Keep you on the edge of your seat and allows me to moan about it. But what can you say? It's just brilliant. I just can't believe I'm watching a team like this. And it's Brighton.
I have to pinch myself. Yeah. As I say, having lived in Manchester for 22 years, my kids having gone to the school literally half a mile from the ground, and always sort of United always having sort of been that dominant team, but to get that win today was just superb. And as you can tell, my voice is gone, so we'll wrap up, shall we?
Wrap up and
say goodbye to Russ, and we've got a few games away in the future. We're going to Villa. So hopefully we'll be able to do something from there, and we'll be with the others.
Our European tour, going to Ajax.
Going to Ajax in Brighton. We're going to watch Ajax play Brighton, but I don't. Although I haven't got tickets to go overseas, unfortunately.
It's nearly Europe for us, isn't it?
It's nearly Europe. Yeah, I mean, Eastbourne. Sorry, New Haven for the continent, Eastbourne for the incontinent. So we're nearly there. Yeah. Right. Well, we'll say goodbye. So we'll hand back to you, Russell. Up the Albion.
Stand or fall, you got it wrong way round.
Stand or fall.
And so here we are on the train back from wherever the hell we've been.
We're on the train. We're on the train.
We've been to the Bromley game. With Bromley have won by 3-0, Peter, haven't they?
I mean, we assume so. Yeah.
Not that we were paying attention that much. But
and also the final score we didn't actually see it, so I'm assuming so.
We walked out before the end, but it was probably 3-0. And it was a fantastic game, I'm sure.
It was a good game, I think. Bromley deserved to win.
Yeah, it's quite a lovely, lovely weather and all the other stuff that goes besides. Who else won today, Peter? As we've heard from our friends Alistair and Nick today.
I mean, Huddersfield beat Rotherham.
That could be one of the games I'm talking about.
Man U beat Brighton.
Man U beat Brighton.
Oh, no, that's not right, is it? No, it's...
No, it's the other way around. The other way around.
Oh, no, Brighton beat Man U, yeah.
Again.
I just assumed because they're a much bigger club, you know, that they were beaten.
It's so boring, the same result every time, isn't it? What's that, 4 in a row in the league?
League, yeah. Gonna be 4 in a row.
Yes, we've won 3-1 at Old Trafford. They've got some consolation boards. But effectively, we absolutely battered the fuckers, didn't we? By all accounts.
I mean, but yeah, if you believe the Guardians, if they're reserve team and we had our first team out, if you ignore the fact that half our team are rested... You know.
Yeah, no Estupiñán, and that's saying something. We don't often rest him to start with.
You don't rest Estupiñán him often.
We don't rest Estupiñán. Who else?
Ferguson was out.
March. Yeah.
Pedro didn't start. Guillaume didn't start.
Yeah, and we weren't there either.
No, I didn't start. But Bruggen didn't start. He'd been obviously done pretty well the last few games. And then Cito obviously was injured. So, you know.
So United lost comfortably to our second team.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Or not even a second. I don't think we have a second team anymore. I think we have a very much a two teams. And they can equally interspersed to each other, you know.
Exactly. I mean, you've heard from Alistair and Nick and the rest of them. At this point, you're listening back and you're listening to all the various things that they've said, the observations of the game. We've not, as we're recording this, we've not yet seen the game.
Having heard or seen stuff on Twitter and seen stuff online, the two big things for me are Van Hecker and Lamptey. They're the two. Obviously,
Lamptey started the game.
And had a really good game from the sound of it, and was involved in two of the goals. And on his wrong side as well. He's not his right normal side.
Yeah, I'm chef's
big thing.
I'm chef's kissing galore here, by the way.
And Van Hecker again had another good game when he's obviously been wanted to play regularly first team football, and he's now playing in the Premier League, and he looks like he's well up for it. Odinga as well started for the first time, I think.
I think that's right.
So we've had some big things today. So we went there and stuffed them, and that is huge. It's a big, big thing.
Four wins in a row in the league.
Yeah.
Absolutely love being Man United. I love it.
I despise Man U. It's literally
Can't stand them.
It's literally the team. All the big, glory hunting assholes that I've ever met in my life. Man U fans are the worst. And I despise them. And they're also the fault for all the Premier League money, and all their club was the one who pushed all the Premier League money and the problems of the Premier League, and the reason that lower league clubs don't get any money as well. So I hate that club so much.
Entitlement.
And it's so lovely to beat them.
Benefits from decision making.
Hopefully we'll get the same when we go and play the Etihad in a few weeks, and we get the same result there. Although I'm not confident about that one.
Yeah, last season we went to Old Trafford. We got our first ever win there. Could we get our first ever win at the Etihad in that match?
We deserve it. It's possible, I think. Yeah. It's not. I wouldn't say it's likely, but it's possible.
It's possible, isn't it? Yeah.
He's the sort of manager who can get a result there because he's just so.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where we played him against him at home in that end of season game. We both rested a lot of players. We hammered them for a quite a long time. We actually had a real go at them, and we scored a brilliant goal.
In terms of upcoming games, we've got AK Athens in our first ever European game coming up this Thursday.
Can't wait
for it. We talked earlier about the Marseille scenario and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I think
taking that out of the equation, though, how do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think today was a sign. The team he picked was a sign of how seriously he's taking that game.
Yeah.
So I would say
weakened team today.
Yeah, I would say on paper a weakened team. Yeah, didn't sound like it was in reality, but on paper a weakened team. Certain players like Estupiñán and March, who are very much guaranteed a place on something like rested. Ferguson rested. Although to be fair, he's been injured. I would say that was a weakened team compared to what maybe De Zerbi might think our first team is, because that game is huge. I cannot underestimate how much. It's a home game against the, on paper, fourth seed. I don't think there is a fourth seed. I think the group is all pretty even. I think the group is very, very even. But on paper, the fourth seed, start there with a loss or even a draw and we're on the back foot. So we'll win and we've got no pressure going to Marseille. We've got any result we get there is a good result. Huge, huge game on Thursday.
It's gone on,
and I think he has chosen the team today based on that, and the team have gone and won. So in a way, he's got some decisions to make on Thursday now.
Yeah.
How do you drop Lamptey? How do you drop players like that? That's an interesting one, isn't it? How do you drop X, Y, Z based on today? The Hood midfield played, did well in Premier League, generally. Odinga. How do you drop these players when they've come in and played well?
It's gone under the radar, hasn't it? The importance and the significance of this game on Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game which...
Not for me, hasn't it? It is...
Yeah, but for a lot of people, no one's really talked about it.
The biggest game, barring Hereford and the Doncaster, in our history.
Yeah, I mean, everyone thought, yes, the first game in Europe is going to be significant in that sense. But in terms of getting a result, getting business done, no one's really thought about it.
Yeah.
Well, I say no one, you have. But most people have not thought about it in terms of...
Well, De Zerbi obviously has, given the team he picked today.
Yeah, so there we are again, with De Zerbi staying on top of it. On top of the game.
What we're saying is my brain's up there with De Zerbi.
Isn't it though, Peter? Isn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry about the noise in the background. We're on the train. a window's open somewhere. Oh, what the hell. However, we've had a good day out. We've seen Bromley win, our designated home team for the day. Meantime, we've heard the Albion's fortunes unfolding in the background, on Twitter, on the phone, etc. A win for the Albion. We go on to Thursday. On the back of that, how are you feeling about the season so far?
I mean, I'm genuinely stunned again. We've moved on, barring West Ham game, which is a bit of a lesson in some ways, although obviously we created a lot of chances. We've just moved on from selling £200 million basically worth of talent, and it's stunning. We haven't even played one of our record players, one of our big signings yet. We've played, I think one of the other ones had two starts of the five. It's not like they had loads of starts.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, De Zerbi is literally a god.
Literally god.
I don't think you could even understand. Yeah, I think that's even underestimating him. He's genuinely. I mean, the long as we have him, I'm going to love him. And yeah, and then he'll go with whatever, you know, hopefully not in the season. Hopefully he'll go mid season. He won't go mid season, but he's going to be one of the best managers of all time. Genuinely believe that.
It sounds to me as if we need to get a restraining order taken out against you, Pete. But anyway, and those kids in the background thought that was funny.
But you know that I'm never really a huge fan of Potter.
Yeah.
I was never that bigger. De Zerbi is.
But you've gone the other extreme of this guy, haven't you?
Well, I think most Brighton fans have, haven't they? It's like literally.
Yeah, probably have, yeah.
He is genuinely like. I mean, the way he's. What he's done with his team. I mean, Tolly March. Oh. Just as an example, Tolly March. Yeah. At this time last year and December last year, he missed that penalty at Charlton. And I don't think I walked away. I talked to my dad and I think, I don't think I'll ever score a goal again. He's got 10 Premier League goals in that time since then, that year, less than a year.
We're talking to Johnny Cantor on the last episode. Oh, are we going to win? Are we going to win our first ever title this season? As in a proper
very,
major
very,
trophy?
It's a very, very difficult one because it'll have to be a cup, and a cup is not predictable. It's one off game.
Isn't the paradox that we might be at something like the League Cup, and the League Cup is something that we probably won't give precedence to?
Yeah, exactly. So it's impossible to say in a sense. I'm wondering if it might be next season, maybe, rather than this season, he stays, if we're not in Europe, and we can give precedence to the cups.
Yeah.
I'd say almost you've got too many cups this year with Europe, and we're not going to win Premier League, I think we all agree that. As much as we've been great so far, we're not going to win Premier League. So we're left with cups, and we've got three cups this year, which means we're probably going to get knocked out by Chelsea because we'll play a pretty very, very weak inside against Chelsea because we're in a run of completely mental fixtures. I'm going to Chelsea and I really hope we do well, and I'm actually really interested to see some of the players like Igor Julio who hasn't played yet, that sort of thing. But I'm well aware we'll probably get knocked out because they will have not much on. They won't win a trophy and we'll probably want to be focusing on the Europa League this time and the league. So I imagine they'll probably beat us quite comfortably.
Wouldn't that make it all the better if we happened to beat them?
It'd be amazing if we beat them, but I don't think we will because I think they've got a lot of very, very good quality players, and probably the ones who aren't first choice probably, in a way are probably better mixed than the ones who are in a way. So they will play probably like a half reserve team and do well, and we'll play probably a complete reserve team because we've got like seven games in 23 days, which we're not used to.
Yeah.
So,
well, the next episode, we won't go into too much analysis on the Man United game. As we're recording this, we haven't seen the game. We will probably talk about that a little bit on Match Day Special. So I don't know. We might do something. We might do something remotely on Zoom, possibly. Don't know yet. But we're going to do a Match Day Special for the AEK Athens game, which is our first ever European match, a home match.
Mental.
This coming Thursday.
We're playing a European game. We were watching that TV, weren't we, earlier, and it was like coming across the screen with the European games coming up, and we were one of them. It's just like, it's just insane.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible.
It's just like, I mean, it's like, is it something you dreamed of? Like, I didn't even dream of it because I don't think it seemed that possible where we were before.
We're going to the Amsterdam Arena. We're going to the Velodrome. Well, I'm not, but you are. We're going to AEK Athens grounds. We're going potentially beyond that. We could feasibly finish second in the group, as Johnny Cantor said. We could finish second in the group, drop out, or have a playoff against Barcelona.
Yeah.
Or someone like
or
that.
Dortmund or something.
Or Dortmund.
Like,
one of the
Dortmund's
kings of Europe.
Dortmund's my favourite. The ground is supposed to be crazy.
Incredible times, isn't it? Incredible times. whatever happens, we've got some great times to look forward to. We'll wrap it up there for now. Thank you again to Alistair, to Nick and the rest of them for doing the match day special from our game at Old Trafford, where we won 3-1.
Did we?
My God, did I enjoy that.
Did we win 3-1?
Yeah, we did. I wasn't there, but I really enjoyed it, Peter. And we move on. We've got AK Athens coming up on Thursday. We have got a recording that we've done with the gent, Raymond Wright, the gent, and Phil Dennett, who's written a book about the Albion. That is an episode that's coming up. It will probably be the next thing you hear before we do a thing on Thursday. That is to do with a new book about strikers that Phil Dennett has written.
It's not a train company, is it?
Not that kind of striking. We're used to that kind of striking. No, it's to do with the Michael Robinson, Tommy Cook, Charlie Webb, Bobby Zamora type of striking, you know. Yeah, that kind of thing. That will probably be our next episode. But in terms of match day stuff, it's going down to Thursday. Match day special from Brighton Town Centre / City Centre and from the ground. Until then, Peter, I bid you farewell and I say, stand or fall?
Up the Albion.
And thank you to the local rail service for giving us some background as well. But hopefully you haven't heard that. If you have, whatever. Let's do that again. Stand or fall?
Up the Albion.
And in fact, we're going to do that stand or fall up the Albion thing one more time in just a moment, because I'm doing a follow-up here just the day after the game. And fantastic. What a fantastic performance. Brighton forward Danny Welbeck told BBC Sport after the game, "Everywhere we go, we want those 3 points, home or away. If we set up well, we can get the win. We did that today and played really well. It was a tough period for me at Watford. The club environment was not as good as it is at Brighton. For me personally, I was also coming back from a serious injury. We have a great set of lads here. We fight for each other every day, and it shows on the pitch. We're a team that does the basics with quality on top. The way the gaffer sets up the team is just brilliant. We have to take it a game at a time. The next game is the most important. We have an historic first game in Europe on Thursday. It is going to be a long season. We have a big squad with incredible players and everyone will play their part. It is not worth looking too far ahead. Only after Christmas can you start making your targets." So that was Danny Welbeck after the Albion's win. Manager Roberto De Zerbi, speaking to Sky Sports, said, "We played a great, great game. We deserve to win. We played well. In the first 15-20 minutes, we suffered a lot because United played in a different way than we prepared for. But after that, we played a great game. I think the game was changed when we kept the ball. In that moment, their pressure was strong, and to keep the ball helped us to control the game. And then we have four attackers who are very fast and very good. We have to keep our style when we are losing, when we are winning. We can't forget our DNA because the game can change, and it's bad when the result can change our style. We are working to not lose our characteristic, our quality, and to score more goals. We scored three, but had chances to score again." On his experience with Brighton, he said, "I must admit, I feel I know I'm very lucky to be this coach for this team. It's like a dream because I'm enjoying it a lot, enjoying to watch my team playing, showing their quality. It's an honour. I'm proud." And on the Europa League, starting up this Thursday, he said, "Thursday will be a historic day for us, the fans, the club, the owner. We aim to play well and to keep our heads for the memory of the day." So, you know, he's absolutely loving it. We're loving it. And it's a superb result, really, from the weekend. 4 times in a row, we beat them in the league now. And it's also Danny Welbeck's 4th goal against Manchester United. Now, apparently, this is the first player to reach 4 goals scoring against Manchester United, having been a former player of that club. So he's reached a milestone there. It's also the first time since, I think, the 80s, would you believe, that Manchester United have failed to win in 3 of their first 5 games of a season. Disappointingly, former player, of course it had to be, didn't it? Former player Leandro Trossard scored a late winner as Arsenal won their match at Everton. They were really struggling, I think, by the looks of it. That put us back down to 5th place. We were 4th place overnight. So the table as it stands is City 15 points and a plus 11, Spurs 13 points and a plus 8, same as Liverpool,
and Arsenal. And then, Arsenal with a plus 5. And then us on 12 with plus 8 goal difference. We have West Ham a couple of points behind us and Villa another point behind. Poor old Palace, who threw away a lead to lose to Villa, are down in 8th place on 7, now 5 points behind us. In terms of the game, I've watched it back now to see the extended highlights. And we dominated the match. I'm not even sure the editing quite reflected what I've been hearing from people that are at the game. But we did dominate the match. The goals there from, particularly from Danny Welbeck, scoring that first one. We just passed the ball through them, really. Then we had the other goals. Pascal Grosch's goal was fantastic. The little shimmy and dummy to create the space to have a clearer shot at goal was superb. After some great work from Tarek Lamptey, and what a pleasure it is to see Tarek back flying down those wings, in this case on the left-hand side, which really threw a cat amongst the pigeons, I think, for Man United, or a seagull amongst the pigeons in this case. And yeah, great build-up work. And the third goal just finished things off, João Pedro. One of those goals, a 30-pass move. I mean, that is the kind of quality we're playing. Some of the bookies had us down as slight favourites. Some had Manu as slight favourites. They have had a mixed start to the season, United. But I think the one thing with us is we've been consistently good, even in the West Ham match. Most pundits have said that we were the better side. We possibly deserve to win, certainly deserve something from the game. And in all the other matches, we have deservedly won the games. This game, the only interesting thing, as alluded to there in the interview by Roberto De Zerbi with BBC, was that they did start well, United. They had some chances, Rashford in particular, causing some problems. Van Hecker, I think, was dealing with him quite well, though, actually. He was making things difficult for him, and they weren't able to break through. They did have, of course, that controversial offside, disallowed goal. I say controversial. Some Man United fans are trying to make it controversial. It did go just over the line. We're not talking Kaoru Mitoma for Japan in the World Cup here. This ball had just crossed the line, came into the middle, and it looked like Hoyland, I think it's pronounced, had scored his first goal for Man United on the occasion of his first start, but he didn't. That meant we kept our advantage, we kept going, and eventually won, 3-1 in the end, of course. They pulled one back near the end. I think a good goal, actually, from the new sideshow Bob, called Hannibal, believe it or not. He won't be having much to feed on in a game against the Albion, but that was a good goal, actually, from him, to be fair to him. And that was a consolation pretty soon after we got our third. But a comprehensive victory, absolutely delighted with it. And we move on now to the European game on Thursday. But before we do, there's a couple of other bits of feedback, actually, which I loved. Gary Neville, with his further analysis on Sky Sports News, I've caught a clip of that on the Sky Sports News this morning, actually on Monday morning, which suggested that he thought that United are just not very good at the moment. And he said that's not hysteria. He just thinks, arbitrarily thinking, they're just so far behind the curve in terms of the top sides. And he said he was not in the least bit surprised, neither was Mark Bosnich, former Man United goalkeeper, that the Albion won the game. And in fact, Gary Neville described it as a dismantling. He said Brighton dismantled Manchester United, because he's got to say their full name whenever he mentions them, hasn't he? Anyway, he said it was a dismantling, and I can't disagree with him. But what was most quirky this morning on Sky Sports News was England, who won the Rugby Union World Cup match against Japan quite comfortably, scored a try after Joe Marler, Eastbourne-born Joe Marler, inadvertently headed the ball forwards, leading to a try between the posts. And in response to that, being interviewed on the TV, he said the following.
Joe, an assist like no other. Yeah. Did you mean it?
Of course I did.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. I was practising with Coley and Jamie George in our activation back at the hotel. We were doing some of that, getting us fired up. And I take huge inspiration from Robert De Zerbi and his Mighty Seagulls doing a demolition job on United yesterday. And just taking huge inspiration from them and finding a way to help the boys score.
Fantastic there from Joe Marler. I've got a funny feeling he might be a Brighton fan. there was actually an exchange on Twitter, now known as X, where Sky Sports said, just described that and put the clip up and said, you know, he was joking after the game about this. And there's a response from Joe Marler saying, I wasn't joking. Brighton of Albion's Twitter account has, of course, got involved, saying, give us a call after the tournament. We might need some help with set pieces. So fantastic bit of banter going on there. And yeah, just even more coverage on the Albion than we ever thought. Rugby Union post-match interviews seem to be talking about us now as well. Incredible. Lots more glowing reviews on Match of the Day. We were first up on Match of the Day, which is not often the case, and pretty favourable. Most of it was about us at first. They got all the praise out of the way, and then they went on to discuss United, and that's fine by me. Decent coverage for a change there in terms of the analysis balance. So that's it, really. Yeah, I mean, superb stuff. We are really delighted with where we are so far, aren't we? 12 points out of a possible 15 to start the season, and we move on now to the European game. I cannot wait. We will be doing a match day special from that, the game, of course, on Thursday of this week coming. And in the meantime, you stay tuned for the interview that the gent, Raymond Wright, and I did with Phil Dennett, who's an author and journalist who's written a third book on Albion strikers. The first of them was Tommy Cook, the second was on Charlie Webb, the third is on Albion strikers in general. So listen out for that. Interesting interview, that will be our next episode. Thanks again to Alistair, Nick and the rest of the gang up in Manchester. Thanks to my co-host Peter for the match day recording that we did from Bromley. And thank you all to listening, as always. If you can, please rate and review us. You can do so hitting 5 stars and writing reviews on Apple. You can also get ratings on Spotify now. It's a little bit hard to see, but at the top of the page, there is the option to click on a rating there as well. Please do if you can. It would help us with our ratings and reviews and with the possibility of getting on some exciting new guests. Speaking of which, there are things in the works. Anyway, thank you again to everyone for listening. And until next time, stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.